You're listening to our Voter 2020 series on KEXE KBXE, member-supported radio in northern Minnesota. Whenever a vacancy for a judge occurs in midterm, the Minnesota Constitution provides that the governor shall appoint a judge to fill the vacancy. The large majority of judges are initially selected in this manner. The governor appoints judges based on nominations by a merit selection commission of over 40 people. They are evaluating candidates' qualifications based on their ability and judicial temperament, maturity, and legal knowledge, among other things. Minnesota judges are held accountable by the election process. In the 9th Judicial District of Minnesota, there are three tribal nations and counties like Aiken, Crow Wing, Beltrami, Hubbard, Itasca, Cass, Clearwater, Polk, Red Lake, Roseau counties, 17 counties. Of the 24 judge seats, 12 are up for re-election in 2020, and only two of them are contested. That includes the seat that is currently held by Judge Charles Halverson. His opponent, Ben Lindstrom, joins us now on KEXE KBXE. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Heidi.
So tell us about your background and how it led you to wanting to run for judge.
Going back all the way to when I was a kid, I guess I've always had an affinity for Cass County. Cass County is my current home. I live here with my wife and three children. I got a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And about 10 years ago, I came on board with the Cass County Attorney's Office as an assistant county attorney. And it was, I guess, one of my dream jobs to work and live in the community and have an opportunity to serve it. Ultimately, I was elected as county attorney here and have been serving in that capacity most recently. I guess in terms of the why am I running for judge, I guess I've had a lot of experiences in the courts over the last decade here. I've seen a lot of different judges, and I felt that it was appropriate or almost necessary for me to stand up for what I believe. The judge I'm running against doesn't live in Cass County and lives in another county, but he makes a lot of decisions that affect the people here and affect my hometown and my family. And I had a number of decisions I disagreed with. And so I said, if I am going to expect my children to stand up for their beliefs, then I need to do the same and lead by example. So that's kind of in a nutshell why I'm doing this.
You know, most people don't know a lot about judges. They don't know about how the election process goes. A lot of times people go to the polls. They don't turn over the ballot. So when we have these conversations, we're always saying, at the very least, turn that ballot over and, you know, find out about the people who are running for these seats. What are your thoughts about this process? So it is in the Constitution that judges are appointed, but then it is an election process after that. They are up for re-election. What do you know about that appointment process, and what do you think of it?
Sure. The Minnesota Constitution doesn't necessarily say judges need to be appointed first. Judges in our Constitution are supposed to be elected. They serve 6-year terms. If somebody is a judge and they don't file to run again, there's what's called a vacant seat that then anybody who files for office can run to fill. The standard practice that has taken place, though, is that judges generally retire in the middle of their term and allow the governor to then appoint who the governor believes is appropriate. In theory, there's supposed to be a selection committee that vets people. In theory, that sounds good. I don't know in practice that it always works out. In terms of like Cass County here, I've actually been in Cass County longer than either of the presiding judges here. But the most recent vacancy, there was a selection committee that never called me and asked me my opinions on anything related to the process. And yet I'm the elected county attorney for my community. I've worked in the community for a decade. The person who was appointed was somebody I was prosecuting a homicide on the opposite side of, and would ultimately be a person who processes thousands of cases that the office I manage puts through the system. So it's a little concerning when you have a selection committee that doesn't even call somebody who is clearly going to be impacted by the decision or recommendation they make. So I guess that's my understanding of the process, and I guess maybe I'm expressing a little bit of frustration with how it worked in this case.
So have you ever put your name to be considered to be appointed judge, or how has that worked for you? Would you do that in the future if you aren't elected to this position?
I've never applied to become a judge before through the vetting process. This is the first go round at it. And, you know, ultimately, as I kind of noted in my initial answer, I'm standing up in this instance because I feel it's something I need to do to maintain my personal integrity to say I stood up for what I believed in. I essentially forfeit my right to complain about what I've seen. And if I didn't at least try to engage the lawful process. I also think it's important, you kind of noted, you know, people get these ballots, they look on the back, they don't know anything about them for the most part. They never have a choice because there are so few contested races. So I also think it is a good notion for people to become aware, to be educated about who their leaders are and why they're doing what they're doing and who they're putting in there.
We are talking to Ben Lindstrom today. We're talking about the judges race in Minnesota Judicial District 9. I don't know how it works for county attorney. That's an elected position. Is it a bipartisan?
Is it a nonpartisan role?
It would be a nonpartisan election for county attorney. So, you know, county attorneys, only one county votes a person in, whereas the judicial races are 17 counties throughout the 9th Judicial District.
Okay. So, yeah, that my next question to you, and you have to do this already, but how do you feel about holding a nonpartisan position and what that means for a judge, I guess?
Sure. I mean, you know, it can be difficult because you run into people and they always want to hear all your specific thoughts on specific instances. And especially with the judicial race, you're not supposed to get into how you might decide a particular case. So I guess I've seen a lot of frustration from some voters or potential voters because they want to know who you are. Why should they vote for you? And certainly when we have elections, the whole notion of an election is to have an informed electorate that's making decisions that the community believes is best for them. So there can be a little bit of frustration.
I wonder if you would tell us a little bit about the 9th Judicial District includes something called a treatment court. Can you explain to us what that treatment court is and your thoughts on it?
Sure. There's a number of treatment courts throughout the district and throughout the state and throughout the country. In terms of, you know, a judicial race, it's probably a smaller portion of what judges do. Here in Cass County, we process thousands of cases every year. And, you know, treatment courts would, when operating at full capacity, be, you know, maybe a dozen cases a year. That's not to say they don't have an important role to play or an important potential role to play, because I have seen them work successfully. I've also seen some failures on some ends of things, but they do have the capacity to work. One thing I would be hopeful that, you know, the legislature and Supreme Court would do would be to promulgate some rules to provide guidance for how they should operate. You know, we have rules of criminal procedure, rules of juvenile delinquency. We have rules related to civil commitments, you know, rules related to almost everything we do, which, you know, courts are all about applying rules to particular sets of circumstances so that people can predict what should happen and how it should happen. And so certainly having some groundwork from you know, a statutory framework or the Supreme Court promulgating some rules that everybody either has to follow or can agree should be followed would be useful.
So those kinds of rules aren't there now. It's under the jurisdiction of the judge, would you say?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the way they work now is you have a bunch of key players that come together and in theory put together a program that has some guidelines that everybody can agree on in terms of the types of cases that would come in and et cetera. You know, there may be some funding sources that limit the types of cases that can be accepted. For example, if you get a federal or a state grant, that grant funding may limit you from taking certain offenders that have, you know, prior convictions for certain crimes of violence. And so some of those things are restrictive on what you can do with them.
Well, you know, certainly we're living in different times in this pandemic. I'm sure it's affected your role quite a bit as county attorney. I wonder if you, on that note, and then also just more generally, if you could give advice to our listeners. Hopefully, you know, we won't have times where we're going to be in front of a judge, but it happens. And they're also kind of the difficult times in life, and people are pretty stressed out about it. What kind of advice can you give to people on how to approach it?
On how to approach the pandemic or the court system?
I guess I asked you two of those. Yeah. It's first the court system, and then let's talk about the pandemic, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, the court system is there because it helps ensure the rule of law is followed. You know, most of the people that come through the system are good people. They've just had a bad day or a bad set of circumstances. And, you know, the system is there to ensure that their rights are respected, but it's also there to ensure that there's some accountability for things that have happened in the past, too. In terms of the pandemic, certainly that has made things a lot more difficult for folks. You know, jury trials were suspended here in Cass County for nearly 5 months, and that can make it difficult to process the volume of cases. You know, most cases we process don't have a trial associated with them, but the fact that a trial could happen helps the parties evaluate risk of litigation and manage that risk through resolution. And so there is a bit of backlog now, but the courts are operating under a system of Zoom and telephone hearings, and certainly that can be frustrating for people because there's a lot of "can you hear me now" and "my phone doesn't work" and "my TV doesn't work," but I think ultimately the system is still trying to process cases and provide people with a peaceful way to resolve disputes. You know, we've continued to put cases into the system throughout the entire pandemic declaration. Law enforcement has still arrested people that need to be arrested. So I do think as a community, all of us are going to be able to come through the pandemic and hopefully be better on the back end.
We talked about that the judge races are not as well known to voters. How are you going about campaigning and making sure people know you're running?
Well, it's about getting the word out there, you know, using social media, having, you know, a website. I have a website, benlindstrom.com, where people can go to learn more. Getting the word out through signs. You know, I've had a lot of people contact me and say, "Hey, Ben, we've seen your signs." And it's kind of interesting to hear because they start talking to their neighbors about, "Hey, we see these judicial races." And they start talking amongst themselves about, "Hey, we didn't even know judges were always elected." So I'm hopeful the social media campaign, getting out and visiting with people, getting the signs out there, gets people at least thinking about them. You know, because whether I win or lose this election, the fact that people got to think about judicial elections and how we select our judges, I think that's instrumental to our system.
Yeah, I was looking at your website and it, you have on there that to take your courts back. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means to me that our Constitution says judges shall be elected. They shall serve 6-year terms, and they shall be selected by the district over which they're going to make decisions. So in this case, we're the 9th Judicial District. There's 17 counties. So that group of 17 counties should be deciding who their judges are. And I talked a little bit about the Judicial Selection Committee. The way the system operates now, at least in practice, when there's a retirement, there's a vacancy, and the governor gets to appoint. Well, the governor is in St. Paul. The governor is elected by people outside of our district. And so in terms of taking our courts back, we are literally saying, "Hey, the Constitution says judicial elections are the way we're supposed to select judges." I think it's important to, at least from my perspective, to note that I do believe the Constitution has preference for the elections. I mean, not only does it say that judges should be elected, but even when the governor appoints somebody to a judicial ship, that judge then has to run in the next general election a year after their appointment. So they don't just get to fill out the balance of their predecessor's term. The people have to come in and say, "Yes, this is this decision we agree with."
That is Ben Lindstrom. He is running for the 9th Judicial District to be a judge. and can find more information at benlindstrom.com.
Thank you, Heidi.